My name is Angela Cullen, and I'm a member of the Chevy Chase Library community, and I'd like to welcome you to this Montgomery County Executive Candidates Forum on Library Services. And I'd like to introduce the candidates. Jonathan Sicker, who's a Republican, Ike Leggett, Democrat, and Steve Silverman, Democrat. Chuck Floyd, the other Republican candidate, couldn't be with us. He's out of town. But he has sent a statement on library services that we will read later. As I said, the first set of questions were chosen from questions that were sent to us by email. Each candidate will have 2 minutes for his response. And we're going to start in alphabetical order. So, Mr. Figger, you'll be first, then Mr. Leggett and Mr. Silverman. And then, Mr. Silverman, you'll go, and then you'll go, and then you'll go. So, we'll just keep rotating, okay? All right. The first question that we have is a general question on library services. We'd like to know if you or your family regularly use the library, and which library you use. And we'd like to know how you rate libraries in importance relative to other county services. Mr. Fricker, do you want to start?
Sure. Well, I got my library card back in 1951 when they first started the bookmobile at the corner of Piney Branch Road and Flower Avenue. I was card number 90. My dad worked in the Library of Congress for 40 years. He used to bring me home 6 books every week to read. I remember in fourth grade at Oakview Elementary, we had a contest as to which of the students would read the most books in a year, and they kept a graph all year long. Well, Sandy Landman, a young lady, and I were in a battle for first place all year. It turned out that both of us read more books that year than all the other students in the class put together, but Sandy beat me by 4 books. I couldn't understand.
That's Sandy's.
I couldn't understand how she kept getting ahead of me. I was an active participant in class, and then I noticed that under her desk, she was reading a book all day long in class. Just recently, I went to my 45th reunion of my Montgomery Blair class of 1960, and sure enough, Sandy was there, and she brought a paperback book with her. I rate libraries number one. Instead of having 7 million visitors a year to Montgomery County libraries as county executive, I want to increase that to 20 million because the smartest people pick the best brains. You can travel by reading a book in the library. You can be an important person in history by reading the book in the library. And I want to teach the youngsters, just as my dad, who worked in the Library of Congress for 40 years, taught me, use your library and you're going to be a success in life.
Thank you. I want to thank all of you for coming out this evening. My library of choice is my neighborhood library, which is the Fairland Library. In fact, last year, 2005, the Fairland Library cited me for my work and contribution, 10-year anniversary, for that library, because I got started here in Montgomery County, very actively involved in the community, with a storefront library for the Fairland community. After many, many months of work and contributions, we were able to build a library in Fairland. It is a reflection of what I believe is the true value of our community. So libraries are not a separate part of our community. It's an integral part of the community. It is part of the continuing learning process. Continuing learning is not something that is separate or apart. So I value libraries quite clearly, in my opinion, to be very, very close to what we do for our public schools. We should ensure that as we continue in our public schools, we provide an opportunity for adults in all of our communities, so that they would have libraries that are accessible to everyone. The Fairland Library, in my opinion, is a good example of a neighborhood coming together, working to ensure that we have a library but we need to do more throughout all of Montgomery County, and I pledge to continue to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for hosting this event. I'm very proud to be a participant in this process with you. I live in the White Oak area of Silver Spring, and I use my library card at the White Oak Library. It's a little tattered, but taking a page out of Paulette's testimony, whenever she would testify before us at the council, she'd always have her library card with her as a reminder. I'm very pleased to have been a member of the Health and Human Services Committee for my 8 years on the council, which oversees libraries. I worked my first year on the council with my colleagues on that committee to expand Sunday library hours at our community libraries in Fairland, in Germantown, in Olney, and in Silver Spring. Before I got on the council, our library service on Sundays was restricted to the regional libraries. I've also been very tenacious in supporting our capital budget to make sure that the Germantown Library finally gets built. We're looking forward to ribbon cutting there, that the Rockville Library would get built, and it's under construction. I just went by it today in Rockville, and we're trying to move aggressively on the Silver Spring, Olney, and Clarksburg libraries as well. We've had some rough times with the library budget because, unfortunately, it ends up being a stepchild sometimes when the cuts are made. I've worked very hard on the Health and Human Services Committee to restore some of those funds. I'm sure we'll have an opportunity to talk about that a little later. But we have now moved to a point where in the last 2 years, the budget that has been approved last year by us and this year's recommended county executive budget will go from $31 million to $37 million in library services, restoring many of the cuts that occurred when we had a sort of a mini recession a few years ago. I'm committed to continuing that effort through our budget process, and I want to make sure I continue to work with our wonderful library community and users. I have wonderful childhood memories of my library in New Hampshire, and I want to make sure we all continue to have a library that we can be proud of. Thank you.
Our next question is a follow-up to what Mr. Silverman mentioned. As you all know, there was a great reduction in library funding in 1999, where a good deal of money was cut from the books budget as well as the staffing budget. And we'd like to know how you would propose to raise the level of public library staffing to meet the great variety of county council needs.
Sure. Let me just follow up. In the last 2 years, we've been able to fund the executive's budget with what was sent over without having any reductions. And he had included significant dollars last year, $3 million more than the previous year, to make up for some of those cuts. In fiscal year 04, a couple of years ago, during the operating budget, my colleagues on my committee, Tom Perez and George Leventhal, and I restored almost $500,000 above and beyond what the county executive had proposed, because we just didn't feel that it was an adequate amount of resources. Some of that was also to accelerate the reopening of the Bethesda Library. That's something I wanted to open in July when in fact it had been built. Unfortunately, my other colleague, Mr. Dennis, and I could not convince our colleagues to open it up when it should have been open, but we ended up getting it accelerated by a couple of months to be able to get the Bethesda community, the library, open in a timely manner. We have to continue to look at, on a targeted basis, restoring the cuts that were made, both in terms of circulation, the children's library provisions, plus the staff level that has been cut throughout the entire library system. We have to make sure that when folks go into the library, that it's not like going in to the Giant, that you can actually get service, that you actually have people who are in the library there to serve you, assist you, and you're not on your own. And I think that's a commitment that we all share, but the commitment really is going to be and is a matter of taking a look at our records, of putting additional dollars back into the library system. And that's something I've been doing, and that's something I'll continue to do. Thank you.
Well, that was not part of the cuts that were made in the last few years. I left the council in 2002. But during my time on the council from 1986 to 2002, let me give you a picture of what we were able to accomplish. We increased the budget of the libraries by 129%. We went from $13 million to over $30 million. We renovated and constructed 17 out of 22 libraries within the entire system. There was a tremendous growth during that period of time. It is a tremendous growth because we made the commitment that libraries were important. Now the question is, how would you fund for future expansion for future needs? Well, there are only two ways you could do this. First of all, you have to make certain that we properly prioritize what is in the budget to make sure that libraries are an important part of the budget. Secondly, we have to make certain we do one of them. That is, provide the revenue. The revenues will come from one of two ways. One, by the general revenues that we have overall from taxes, and secondly, by fees. If we increase the level of fees, it will probably reduce the amount of access for some who cannot afford those fees. I would have thought, trying to ensure that we provide additional revenue. We may not get there in 1 year, as you've indicated, $4 million, but I pledge that we would do that at least over a period of time. But certainly, we'd have to provide the revenues in order to ensure that we have expanded hours and ensure that we have the facilities designed for all participants in the system.
I'm going to make libraries my top priority because I know that if you have a good teacher and you have a good library, you have a well-educated child at the end of it all. You have to make sure that the Tweedledum and Tweedledee candidates to my left tell the truth about libraries. In the last election, I put a question on the ballot to compel the county government to stick to the charter property tax revenue limit. Mr. Silverman funded a mailing which went out saying, thanks to another bad idea from Robin Ficker, your future is at risk. Question A could cause the loss of 8 libraries. That's what Mr. Silverman funded, and of course Mr. Leggett, who never criticizes him, didn't say a word. He then put out a sample ballot for his party saying that question A, sticking to the charter limit on property tax revenues, would hurt the county's flexibility in raising the funds necessary to meet the needs of the county. Last year, the county stuck to the charter property tax revenue limit. They did not close 8 libraries, Mr. Silverman. They didn't close any libraries. I'm going to have a question on the ballot this year to reduce property tax revenues by the amount of revenue the county collects by having its piggyback income tax over 50%, which will refund half the county's surplus to you, the taxpayers. Mr. Silverman, what untruths are you going to say about the libraries when that question goes on the ballot? Mr. Leggett, are you going to once again remain silent and say that if we cut our budget, we're going to hurt our libraries? No. Libraries are my top priority. We can keep taxes down and we can make our libraries number one. I want to increase our library visitors from 7 million people a year to 20 million.
We of the library board and the Friends of the Library are very, very concerned about the library budget. And we'd like to know if you would support a one-time appropriation of $4 million to bring the Montgomery County Public Library funding back to 1999 levels in constant dollars. Mr. Ficker, excuse me.
No.
Sorry.
The problem with my opponents is that everything is a priority for them. When you go before the libraries, they say libraries are priority. Housing is a priority. Everything is a priority. I can tell you and promise you, Libraries are my number one priority. I grew up in a library household. I don't think we need a $4 million increase in the library budget. I think we need a $40 million increase in the library budget. I think we need kids learning to make a habit of going to the libraries, and we're going to have productive citizens. The people of Montgomery County, one-third have gone to graduate school. Two-thirds have graduated from college. They have children who want to learn. The libraries is where you get your education. It's where you take your trips. It's where you learn how animals think when they're out in the woods. It's where you learn which places in the world to visit. It's where you learn what happened in U.S. history and European history. It's a wonderful place. And I'm going to encourage the youngsters, and I have three children who want to buy a home in Montgomery County when it gets affordable. I have three children who expect to have families in Montgomery County, and I want to make sure every little boy and girl uses the libraries, get away from that TV set, come to the library, and learn how to be a thinker, think for yourself, be productive. And I'm going to forget the $4 million, $40 million increase in the library budget, and I'm not going to go to other groups and say I'm going to increase their budget by that amount. But for you folks, yes, sir.
In terms of the financial responsibility, let me remind you that I am the author of the Charter Review and the Spending Affordability Process in Montgomery County, and I support the charter. However, we cannot, as Mr. Ficker has just indicated, increase the budget $40 million in library, hold spending constant, and maintain our ability to stay within or below the charter limit. That's simply not possible. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I'm going to flat out provide $4 million. It is a top priority for me, and I believe that we can do it. And I promise to make certain that we do everything in my power as county executive to ensure that we get to that number. But to stand here and say that we're going to automatically provide $4 million at one time, at one slot, I'm not sure that I'm going to say that. That is not what I'm about in terms of county executive. I believe that we can get there. But it's a responsibility to look at all facets of the budget and to make certain that we provide the revenues that are necessary, and if we can get there, our place to get there.
Well, it's hard to know where to start. I wasn't very good at math, but I think even our youngest people can figure out that you can, on the one hand, promise a doubling, more than doubling, of the library budget. $40 million. The library budget proposed right now by the county executive is $37 million. So I don't know, on the one hand, you propose doubling the library budget, but then, by the way, you want to take away, I don't know, $150, $200 million, Robin? Because that's what the impact would be of this ballot initiative. The fact of the matter is we have to have responsible government. People have to understand that you get what you pay for. My response to the issue of the $4 million lump sum is I want to take a look through our budget process this spring and figure out, with the additional $6 million that we will have put into the library budget this year and last year, whether in fact we will get to where you want to get to. And that's my commitment, to work through what those numbers are, to figure out if we've restored the kind of positions that are necessary. But I think we also need to take a look at our library system for the 21st century. The library is no longer just simply a place where you go in, you get a book, and you leave. It's become an extraordinary tool for our immigrant community, an extraordinary opportunity to access the World Wide Web in a way that no one could have imagined years ago. And I'm very pleased to be working closely with Parker Henderson, who is our new who is the new head of our library system. She was assistant CAO, and we're able to look at a strategic plan for the next 5 years and the next 10 years, because I think the focus really has to be, where do we go with the library system as a whole? It's not just about whether you're putting dollars into the library system. It's whether you're putting the dollars in the right and strategic way, as we've done with our school system and as we've done with other departments in the county. That's my commitment, and I'll continue.
As you can see from the questions, we're very concerned about providing staff and good things in the library for people to come in and receive. But we're also concerned about library facilities. As our circulation goes up and the number of visits to the library increases every single year, our library facilities are not being kept up. We're very, very concerned about the upkeep. So an individual, building maintenance is not part of individual departments in Montgomery County. It's set up within the Department of Public Works and Transportation. And are you aware that there are libraries that have over 15 years old carpets? So we have children inhaling the germs of decades at library programs. And we'd like to know how to address this problem of the upkeep and the cleaning and the up-to-dating of facilities.
It is totally unacceptable for us to have carpet that is 15 years old. We don't have to wait next year or 5 years from now when I'm elected county executive to do that. We could do that right now because it doesn't require that much money, resources, in order to take out the kinds of carpets that are causing the problem that you just described. If that exists today, we should remove it, front and center. In terms of ongoing maintenance, we have to go back again to our capital budget and operating. We should be able to adjust our resources within the framework that I've described before, with additional revenues and possibly some additional fees, that ensure, A, that we have the ongoing capital expansion that we need, but also make certain that we can operate within the existing system to ensure that we maintain our libraries. There's no justification for us to have libraries where roofs are leaking, where we have carpets that are not properly kept. We have HAV maintenance problems throughout our library system. Many of those things can be corrected. But we do that on a systematic basis. And this is what we started years ago in the school system, whereby we provided an ongoing maintenance budget primarily for schools. And we were able to reduce significantly the amounts of problems and difficulties in maintenance throughout the year. We can apply that same approach to libraries and to make certain that they are operating in an efficient manner, and do we not have the kinds of problems you just described?
Well, we've looked at this issue for the past couple of years on the HHS committee, and you're absolutely right. The fundamental problem is this. We have not focused on our infrastructure countywide. We've got more than just libraries. We've got mold and portables in the schools. We've got our community recreation centers have challenges. There's a sound system at the Schweinhaus Center that I'm committed to repairing this year. It's only $10,000. The reality is we have only in the last year and a half done a comprehensive review of our infrastructure needs in the county. And it's really simply this. We all love, as I know you know, we all love to go out to ribbon cuttings for new facilities. But there aren't a lot of ribbon cuttings for carpet replacements. Maybe if there were, then we would have an opportunity to be funding these things at a higher level. I kid, but the reality is this. We now have a document. There was an infrastructure task force last year, and the council's had reports last year and this year. We put an additional $7 million above and beyond what the county executive proposed this past year in the budget for infrastructure maintenance across the board. Some of that money went into the library maintenance as well. But I think what we need to do is take advantage of our current economic climate. The economy is good, and that means we ought to be taking some of these revenues that we now have and putting them into the kind of one-time expenditures that we have neglected for many years. I'm not quite sure what Ike is talking about in terms of increasing fees and increasing revenues. We have all the revenues we need right now to get the job done. What we have to do is make sure that instead of misprioritizing the resources that we have, that we look at putting the revenues that we have right now as a result of a good economy into the one-time expenditures that we have unfortunately neglected for too long.
Need a change in the Montgomery County government. These guys have been there. They haven't improved the libraries. The number of visitors has stayed about the same. We need a change. I know that the smartest person picks the best brains. And the best brains are in the library. They're in books. We want to encourage our young people to come to the library. We've got to maintain the library. If I have to start and go to Giant and rent a steam cleaner, I'll help you clean the rug or get a new rug. We need to put the money into the libraries. The county budget in fiscal year 98 was $2 billion. In fiscal year 04, $3 billion. And this next year, it's almost $4 billion. $1 billion is a lot of money. We can find $10 million, $20 million to put into Montgomery County libraries. This is the highest level of education in the United States on the average in Montgomery County. Why don't we have the best libraries in the United States? That's the way I look at it. And I think that if we make it a priority and forget some of these other priorities, Strathmore is nice. But $100 million for Strathmore? The maintenance budget, out of seven building maintenance budget, out of $17 million, $1 million goes there. We need to spend more money on our libraries instead of talking about slots and non-productive exercises. Productive exercises take place in the library. That's where kids and young people and adults get the incentive to improve their lives and the lives of others to get that advanced degree. I've got 3 college degrees, and I realize now, I think I know now that I know less than when I started going to college, because there's so much you can learn, and the library is a place to learn.
I'd like to now introduce Sam Friedenberg, who is going to answer the questions that you submitted.
My name is Sam Friedenberg. I am the chairman of the Aspen Hill Library Advisory Committee, and I am co-president of the Aspen Hill Friends of the Library. Just wanted to remind you that this event was set up by the Chevy Chase Friends of the Library and sponsored by the Friends of the Library in Montgomery County. I have questions for the candidates that you gave me tonight, and I want to assure you that the candidates have agreed to answer all of the questions that have been submitted that we may not have time to get to tonight, and that they will be posted on the Library's Friend website, which is www.libraries.friend, and that's L-I-B-R-A-R-I-E-S, friend.com. I'm sure most of you are familiar with that site. So, I'd like to continue, and Mr. Leggett will be the first to be asked this question. Would you support linking school and library funding?
I'm not precisely sure what you mean by linking schools and library funding. I do not believe that the library should be an integral part of the public school's budget. I do believe, however, that we should properly fund the library. There are many things that overlap between public education and the library system itself. But one of the things that I think could be a very, very disastrous problem to the library system is that we are caught up in the public school system, impacted by the cuts and the changes that occur there. I would hate to have the library become a small minority portion of the overall school budget. We can better prioritize that, look at that so the public is sure of what we see, and not have it buried within the school system's budget. The library is an integral part of the education process. However, having the library budget separate so the citizens know what we fund, why we fund it, and the resources that we're going to utilize in order to make those funds happen is what I think is important. Simply buried it within the school system, I think, would be wrong.
If the suggestion is that there should be some linkage through some type of a formula, I think that creates a challenge. I think it creates a challenge simply because there are so many services in this county, besides library services, that have a claim on our tax dollars, that I think a system that allows a debate like this to take place is indicative of the interest that our community has in library services, and I look forward to continuing over the next 2 months to work with many of the library advocates to make sure there's an appropriate share of the budget provided for library services. I think what is important is that we, in terms of linkage, that we understand that we have a library system that is used by our kids, as well as some of us who aren't kids anymore. And the reality of that is we need to have, I think, a greater working relationship between our school system and our library system to make sure that they work together, that there is more communication. This is a real challenge. The school system's budget is $1.8 billion. They got a lot of people floating around in administration, and we need to figure out a way to make sure that they are working together with the head of our library systems and the appropriate branches to make sure there are opportunities for partnerships. That's what I think we need to do in terms of the linkage issue, but I think it'll be a real challenge to start talking about formulas. I also want to commend, I should have at the beginning, the Friends of the Library, all the Friends of the Libraries, and those people who serve on our library advisory committees. I think there's 19 or 20 of them now who take time out of their schedules to work raising money for their local libraries and helping to support our library system and mostly letting us know what's necessary in the system. I think through that type of working relationship, we're going to be able to find the appropriate level of funding for a first-class library system. Thank you.
Well, Steve earlier referred to the library system as a stepchild in the budget process. That's going to change when I'm elected county executive. It's not going to be a stepchild anymore. It's going to be a proud son or daughter who likes to spend time doing productive things. Youngster, as a twig is bent, so grows the tree. Mr. Weiss knows that. He knows that it's a very good life skill to get kids in the habit of going to the libraries early on. And I will sit down and talk with him and work out some way to increase linkages between the school system and the libraries. I can't think of a better place to be as a child than in the library. That habit is formed at a young age, in the age when kids are in school. And I think there needs to be a linkage in the budget. Why should the libraries be a stepchild? They shouldn't be. I think that we've been missing out on promoting libraries to our youngsters. There should be field trips to the libraries. Teach the kids. I know there are libraries in the schools, but they aren't as complete as the main libraries. There should be field trips on the part of the classes to the schools, to the libraries, and I think that it will be a good idea to promote linkages between the school system and the libraries. Why Mr. Weiss hasn't done this to a greater extent, I think it's just because the county executive hasn't sat down with him and promoted it. It's because Mr. Silberman on the council hasn't sat down and promoted it. It's because when Mr. Leggett was on the council, he didn't sit down and promote it. I'm going to promote it. I'm going to sit down with him and talk about how we can increase access to our libraries instead of TV and less productive exercise.
Given advances in information technologies, what is your vision to enhance new technologies throughout our libraries?
Sure. We need to implement the strategic plan for libraries, which basically calls for a significant increase in technology in our library system. We aren't where we need to get to, and again, those are the kind of things which are one-time expenditures which we can use some of the resources that we've been getting this year and are projected to come in the future. I think there's some real opportunities there. The library of the future is going to be very different than the library that I grew up in New Hampshire. And by that I mean we need to make sure there's sufficient space for computer access, internet access. I mentioned earlier we've got an incredibly diverse immigrant community. And even though we are one of the most wired counties in the country in terms of technology in our homes, the reality is when you talk about a 93% internet access rate in the homes, you're talking about a lot of people for that extra 7%, and a lot of people in our lower income communities who are not able to get access to the internet, like my son or your children are. So I want to make sure that we invest in technology in our libraries, we provide the space, we have the resource folks in the library system to assist people, and that we utilize this not only for our kids but for our business community. We've got a tremendous amount of small businesses in this community who use our library system for research, for business access. It's something that we're going to reinstate in the Rockville Library when it opens, hopefully later this year. But those are the kind of uses of technology that we haven't had in the past, and I think we can move forward with if we just simply implement the plans that are on the table. Thank you.
We talked about one-time technology, and that's very good today in today's climate under the existing budget that the county is currently evaluating. But I've been around long enough to know that what we have one-time expenses and the way the budget flows in and out from one year to the other, that is not something that is likely to last. This is why I urge that we review our fee structure. This is why I urge that we look at how we can dedicate funds so that we can ensure that we have the technology, not just today, but to go ongoing to ensure that we have it as it relates to the future as well, to respond to the problems of maintenance that we have within our library system. We need to have an ongoing, dedicated sum of resources in order to ensure that we can resolve this problem, not just today, but over a long period of time. As it relates to technology, to say, we can do both. I don't think there's a choice that we have to make between technology and providing the books and all the hard resources that we need in the libraries today. We are going to be, comparatively, one of the best wired community, if not the best in the entire country. The problem for us is that there are large numbers of people out there, especially seniors and those without access, who cannot take advantage of that technology. We need to do both. We can do both. But we're not going to do it simply looking at one year, one time, dedicated funding.
County executive that has a scientific bent, a technological bent. I do have a degree in engineering from Case Institute of Technology. I note that the average number of people using public internet workstations per public service hour per branch of the library is only 13. That's too low a number. The average percentage of time that public internet workstations are used in the library system is only about 50%. That's too low a number. I don't think people know that these workstations are available. The number of public internet workstations in the library system is only 317, while my opponents, while our opponents, have been in office. The number of public workstations has increased over the last few years, only about 30 workstations. Where have they been? Why haven't they been increasing the number of workstations? The internet's been increasing, internet usage has been increasing exponentially. Why has the increase in workstations in our libraries been increasing at a flat line and a not very fast rising flat line as it is? We need a new approach to internet access in our libraries. We need to have rooms as big as this, with filled with workstations, so people can come in and use the internet and use advanced technology, use the mines in Silicon Valley and up on I-270 to access the information. There's only one medical library in Montgomery County, but we should be able to access it in all our local libraries by having a large number of workstations. Where have these guys been? Why have our workstations been increasing on a flat line instead of on a 60-degree increase?
Okay. This question is going to be a little bit more personal. What book are you reading now, or what is the last book that you read, and what is the book that has had the most influence on your life, and why?
Well, Well, I'm reading the same book you are if you go to the movies. You think who won the Academy Awards recently? Who played Truman Capote in the movies In Cold Blood? And I never read it when it came out, but it was given to me by a friend recently, and that guy could write a book. I'm telling you, his vocabulary, his flow with the language was masterful, and I'm enjoying that right now. I'm on page 80. The family was just shot, and now we're going after the killers. The books that influenced me the most in my life were the great books of the Western world, the Syntopicon. They came out in a set of 60-some books, and when I was in high school, I'd sent away a card that I'd seen in Life magazine or Newsweek, one of the magazines, and I wanted to talk to someone about the great books of the Western world. Well, to my house came a salesman. And I found out after I bought a set of those books and went into debt to buy it myself on my own meager budget as a high schooler, I found out that that guy had made 60 straight sales. Well, I still have that great book, that set of great books in the Western world, and the Syntopicon is a marvel to me because you can look up a topic and see what the great authors in history have said about that topic, and it's a wonderful thing. I commend it to you, and I'm sure that you have your books, your favorite books in mind, but take a look at the great books of the Western world.
I started reading Bill Clinton's book. a book that has had probably the greatest impact, the one that many of you probably have not heard of, called The American South. It was read by a college professor at Southern University by the name of Jason Cloud. And what he did was to track the lives of African Americans as they interrelated to many of the problems and challenges in the South, the migration from the South to the North, and the struggles that African Americans had over a large period of time. That book, I think, reflects two things. One, reflects the challenges and difficulties that many of us face. It reflects also opportunity and access, that people were able to move, people were able to fight and move for change that I think clearly reflects part of my life. This is why, as a young person, I got very actively involved in the civil rights movement, actively involved as a student government president at Southern University, leading most of the civil rights demonstrations and boycotts and pickets in and around Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That has had a profound impact on my life because now I see that we can make change in this country, that we can have people who are responsible in leadership positions, and that we can ensure that we have the access, the opportunity, and hope for all America. Thank you.
Well, I grew up an only child in New Hampshire, had a very happy life. My parents were voracious readers, and this was prior to video games. We only had one TV in my house. So I spent a lot of time going back and forth to our local library getting anything I could get my hands on. I spent a lot of time reading Hardy Boys. And in fact, I know how old I am now because every time I go into a library, I sneak over to the mystery section, the young kids' mystery section, and see what number they're up to. Well, when I stopped reading them, they were up to about 45. Now they're at like 190, so I know there are still a few out there. I read a lot of biographies, and I can't stand here and say there's one book that really had the most impact on my life. But I read virtually all the biographies that I could find of presidents and inventors and leaders in this country. And I've tried to continue to do that. When I'm not reading council packets for the next Health and Human Services Committee work session, then I do try to gravitate back to biographies. And the one that I think I've enjoyed the most recently was T-Rex, about the life of Teddy Roosevelt. Because what it really showed, and the one I'm reading right now is on Lincoln, the new book on Lincoln by Doris Kearns Goodwin, which, interestingly enough, of course, are two Republicans, but they both are indicative of great leaders who overcame tremendous adversity, who had a clear vision about where they wanted to take the country, and how they did not let the adversity that they suffered, either in their personal lives or as elected officials, get in the way. The life and times of Teddy Roosevelt, a young, sickly kid with asthma, rising up to just a remarkable series of accomplishments, is a testament to what people can do in this country. And it provides me the kind of regular inspiration to know that when people can work together, they can get the job done. And I look forward to doing that as your county executive. Thank you.
Question. For the good of all of us in the county, can you commit to providing full two-person staffing at the correctional facility library in the interest of staff safety and the ability to carry out the library's role in the rehabilitation of people now in jail? Mr. Lackey.
We have a real problem in our institutions in trying to provide access and opportunity for those who are incarcerated. And I believe that the library system and those who receive the information in the books and the correctional system have done a pretty good job. They are clearly challenged and stressed by the number of people who are trying to do this very difficult job. But there are also some other needs in the library system. I think this is a worthy goal, one that I would look at, but I'm not going to promise feel that in terms of the precise numbers that say before I've actually looked at the complete comprehensive budgets and the needs of the library system to say that we would have two people or two staff persons designated to the correction system. It is something that I would clearly look at and evaluate, and I think this is a worthy goal, and hopefully we can fund that. But I'm not going to stand here to say to you that I would automatically do that, and there's a place to do that when we do not have the full array of all the library needs before us. Hopefully we can do that, and I play this a little very carefully because I think it is an important priority. But to stand here and to give you a promise that I would automatically do that when we have other library needs that we've talked about today is something that I would want to evaluate and look at very carefully.
Sure. Yes, this isn't much money. In this year, of whole years, we can certainly put in the additional dollars for this. I just met with Art Wallenstein, who runs our corrections facilities, a few days ago to talk about conditions at the jail, but more importantly, what we need to be doing in order to have a cost-effective jail system. That was one of the topics we talked about. But we also have to go beyond, quite frankly, just the library system at the jail. That's fine. We should be able to do that. We have a tremendous need for mental health services in our libraries. Another topic that is covered by the committee that I serve on, Health and Human Services, is mental health services in this county. Before I got to the council, I served on the board of directors of the Mental Health Association. And like many of you, I have many friends and acquaintances who have suffered mental illness and need support. Our jail system, probably about a third of the people that are in our jail system are there because primarily of mental illness. And what we need to do is to broaden our view of the correction system to get away from just let's lock them up and throw away the key to a system that does focus on rehabilitation and not end up having our mental health system be linked to our correction system as just simply the place where folks who are mentally ill end up going. What Art and I talked about, and I think this is where we need to go, is to look at providing the kind of mental health services that are necessary in the correction system so that folks get, if they need the drugs that they need to have, then they'll get them. But if they need the counseling they'll get, then they'll get the counseling as well. We have just not provided the kind of services, to be frank about it, not a huge constituency. We don't have a lot of people coming in at budget time wearing T-shirts saying fund mental health services or the library for the jail system. But if we want to stop a revolving door and be the compassionate county we hope to be, then that's where I think we need to start looking at resources. Thank you.
know one thing. If we kept you good folks in this room for a year, you'd read a lot of books. Who's got more time to read books than anyone else? The people that are in jail, they can't go anywhere, and they need it. I'm just getting started in my defense practice. I've only done 20,000 cases so far. I know a lot of people who have spent time in jail. I know why they're there. Drugs, alcohol, lack of education. We need an extra person in the detention center so these fellas, they're mostly fellas, not entirely, can get a good education and learn to lead a productive life. And the way they learn that is by learning from the mistakes of others. You read about that in books. To learn of the successes in others, you learn about that by reading books. And they've got the time to read books. We should make our library facilities available to each and every inmate. Help them get their GEDs. I know these folks. They've got the time. Many of them don't want to keep living the life they've been living. They want to make a change. Just like you want to make a change in your county government, they want to make a change in their lives. And libraries are the way to do it. They've got the time. Let's have some people, making more people, making these books available to the guys so that they can learn a life skill, so they won't go back in, so they won't be repeaters, so they won't be one of my best customers and keep coming back every year.
And we've reached the end of the question and answer period of the program this evening. Any additional questions that were asked that might even be now in that jar over there, we will make sure that the candidates respond to them and that they are on the Library's Friend website. To complete our program tonight, we will allow each candidate to speak for 3 minutes about library service. First, however, I do have a statement from Chuck Floyd, the Republican candidate. He could not be here tonight, and with your permission, I will read his statement. I'm sorry that I cannot attend tonight's event. I thought I would be back from a business trip to California, but unfortunately, I am held over for another day. I want to thank everyone for attending tonight, since debates about the issues affecting Montgomery County are very important in educating the voters. Just a quick background on myself. I am a retired U.S. Army officer, a former diplomat working for Colin Powell at the U.S. Department of State, a small business owner, and currently a security and government contracts consultant. My wife, Catherine, and I live in Kensington with our two daughters, Anna, 8, and Julia, 13. I graduated from the University of Richmond and have two master's degrees in business, along with a command and general staff college degree from the U.S. Army's master degree level program at Fort Leavenworth. I've always used public libraries, and I'm a big supporter of the public library system. We take our daughters to several of the public libraries in the county all the time. Public libraries are part of the government's responsibility for public service to its citizens. I will fully support the libraries in Montgomery County, but will seek to change a few of the current policies. First, I will ensure that the Homeland Security Department has a real mission dealing with Homeland Security, not policing libraries. The library staff and the county police can handle any public safety issues that may arise. Second, I will support free parking at the libraries for citizens who want to use these public facilities. Third, I want to protect free speech, yet my top priority is to protect our children by a policy of no porn in our libraries. If an individual wants to view porn, then it can be accomplished in non-public places where children will not be exposed to porn. Is it illegal to yell fire in a public place? Is it common sense to protect children? Does our society try to protect children from sexual predators? I do not think that the taxpayers should fund someone's habit of looking at porn. I will be a leader in protecting our children from porn in the government, that is, schools and libraries. That concludes Mr. Floyd's statement. We will now take statements. The candidates will have 3 minutes to speak about library service and any issues that they might have not touched on tonight that they would like to convey to us. We will begin with Mr. Silverman.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your hosting this event for us. I said a little earlier, and I want to say again how much those of us who have served on the Health and Human Services Committee appreciate the great work of our library folks, but also the Friends of the Library and the Library Advisory Committees. You're the eyes and ears of our system, and frankly, in my 7 years going through 7 budgets on the council, you've been very helpful in providing me advice about what you think really needs to be a priority within our library system's budget. I do want to take a minute and comment on the free parking issue. I'm one of the co-sponsors of the free parking resolution, which is about to pass the council. We will find the resources to make sure that parking is free throughout our library system. The position that has been taken by others in connection with the Rockville Library was something that wasn't thoroughly discussed 2 years ago. We were too busy trying to make sure the library would get built in the first place. But now that we're at that point where it's going to open, I think it's going to be very important that we keep a commitment to make sure that our library system does, in fact, remain free. And the resolution, which just passed through the committee that I'm on, 2-1, which will go to the full council, I think, next week, will provide free library parking not only at Rockville, but also at Bethesda, where there's been meter parking for years. We'll figure out technologically how to do that. But the commitment that I have made as a co-sponsor of the resolution is to ensure that we don't charge people to park to use our library system. The election's only 6 months away, so you'll have plenty of opportunity to review the Democratic primary race between Ike and me over the next 6 months. I will just share with you that I've had the pleasure of working for many years with many of you in this room and thousands elsewhere. I have an established co-chair committee of about 50, a little over 50 honorary co-chairs who represent the diversity and face of Montgomery County, many of whom I worked with on Silver Spring revitalization issues as I did for years before I got on the council. And we have over 1,000 community activists who have joined our effort to make sure Montgomery County becomes a better place. We need to make sure we are continuing to recognize our priorities, not only in our library system, but to provide affordable housing, traffic congestion relief, a quality education system. These are the things we need to concentrate on, and working together, I know we can get the job done for Montgomery County. I ask for your support on September 12th, and I look forward to being your county executive. Thank you very much.
Well, I think I've lived in Montgomery County as long as the other three candidates put together, and if we all learn about Montgomery County at the same rate, I'll let you conclude who knows more about Montgomery County than the other candidates. We have to be able to get to the libraries. I'm in favor of a new bridge across the Potomac at Muddy Branch. I'm in favor of extending Metro to Germantown and of linking up, as we should have done 25 years ago, these guys haven't done, the Silver Spring and Bethesda Metro stations. We have to be able to get around. Our two main streets in Montgomery County are clogged most of the day. One little truck can shut down Montgomery County. That's not right, and there's going to be a change coming. I'm going to be thinking about you citizens, not what the developers want me to do, because I'm not taking developer funding in this campaign. When Mr. Leggett was on the council from 94 to 98, 64% of his funding came from developers. When Mr. Silverman was chairman of the council, he spent his time vacuuming up developer money to the tune of 70% of his campaign funding. The developers are going to take a back seat to you, the citizen. I'm going to be thinking of your schools, your libraries, your transportation, what you want for your children, what you want for your parents, helping you. I've lived all my life here in Montgomery County. My children have lived all their lives here in Montgomery County. My folks came here in 1933. I'm from Montgomery County. I'm a Montgomery County guy, and I know we have to have successful, blossoming libraries in Montgomery County for our youngsters, our oldsters, and all those in between. I'm going to be not a friend of the library. I'm going to be a best friend of the library. That's going to be a priority, and I'm not going to go to other groups and tell them that's going to be my priority. This is my priority, and I hope that you consider me an independent running for county council, for county executive. There's need for a change in Montgomery County, not more of the same. We can do better. So I ask for your vote in November. I'm looking forward to representing you, and I'm going to have open hours starting at 7:30 Monday morning, where anyone can come without an appointment and talk to the county executive. We're not even going to have a door on our county executive office, because it's going to be your office, not the developer's office.
I want to thank all of you for coming out this evening. And I guess you know that all the candidates here and all the candidates in the history of politics in Montgomery County have all been for libraries. That's no secret. The question that you need to answer is, who can best deliver? Who can look at the budget, analyze it appropriately, and look at the long term and determine how we are going to fund all of those things in which we clearly agree? We heard a statement earlier about a resolution now to provide parking, free parking. Well, as indicated before, I'm not on the council today. But before the council acted, I had already acted and indicated very clearly to the public that I believe that all libraries should provide public free parking in Montgomery County. When you go back and you evaluate the time that I've served on the council, from 1986 to 2002, simply look at the record. Look at the revenues provided by the council in the time that I served. We increased the budget in Montgomery County 129%. We built, renovated 17 of 22 libraries. And we did it all in the time that I served on this county council. It is important for us to look forward. Some time ago, Ms. Dickerson here, who's been very active in library concern for a long period of time, exactly 7 years ago, almost to this day, she appeared before the county council, and in her testimony, she said two things that I think I remember from that. One of which is, she thanked the council for our Children's First Initiative, an initiative that I started designed to help all of us get our children involved in the library in our entire school system. She said something else. She said that we shape buildings initially. Thereafter, the buildings shape us. What is meant by that as we build libraries, if we make the construction, we involve the investment in our communities, then the libraries will help to shape us as a community, because it will reflect our values, it will reflect our concerns, and the aspiration for a lifetime of learning. That's what you're going to get with Ike Leggett as county executive. Thank you very much.
First of all, I'd like to thank all the candidates for their coming here tonight, for answering all of our questions, and thank them in advance for answering the questions that we will have in the future. I want to encourage everybody to stay involved. The election is in November, and don't wait till the last minute.
Primary.
September. General November.
Stay involved, stay active, and thank you again to the candidates and to all of you for coming. We have refreshments here, and you're free to stick around. We have this room until 11 o'clock tonight. So, behave yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ever again. That was our one moment. I hear you.